The advice in this podcast is intended as a general guide and does not cover any individual or corporate circumstances. Kyo Accountancy Group strongly recommend that formal tax advice be obtained before any steps are taken by individuals or corporates that may have a tax effect.
Thanks so much, Nancy, for coming along this morning, and we appreciate you giving us your time. Nancy is a client of Kyo Accountancy Group, and it's kind of a story from where she started off in her room to where she is now. Nancy's been in business since 2016. If you want to tell us a bit about how you started and how you grew and what are the secrets of the trade or secrets to success?
I don't think there is definitely a secret to success, that's for sure. A lot of people will always say to me, you know, what was the business plan or what did you aspire to do? And to be honest with you, there was never any business plan. I started the business from a spare bedroom in my college apartment, and it truly started with something that I loved doing, which was hair. And it wasn't until I was about 6 or 7 months maybe into it that I realised it had actually become my full-time job. So I was in my final year in college when I started it. And finished college, got a degree in business, which of course has helped me to some element. But then, yeah, kind of realized that I was working full time for myself and said, God, I better, you know, make a business out of it. It's not really something that I love doing anymore.
And some people have that fear of making the next step, Jill, the fear of having to pay overheads, having to rent a unit, maybe have to employ staff to have the money to pay them.
And that's it. I think, you know, so many people will say I'm afraid of taking the next step, whereas I just never thought of a step. I never thought of opening a premises. I never thought of hiring staff, you know, and that's where people overthink and overcomplicate things. Obviously, some businesses are different. You need a front, you know, to start. Whereas with me, it just genuinely started doing something I love. So like I've heard people, you know, who want to do cakes for a living and they're like, oh, what if it fails or what if I can't do it? And I'm like, bake your first cake and sell it. And then start from there. And it really, really is that simple. You know, just break your whole business down to what I call the heart. And for me, the heart of one of my businesses is hair. And if someone has their hands in hair, we are operating a business.
So what year did you leave the college bedroom apartment and actually rent your first unit?
So I was a year working without being in a premises. So it was about 2017 that I moved into a premises. And once again, you know, people will fear about moving into a retail unit, whereas like I was on daft going from low to high, like just finding the cheapest place that I could find, because my kind of reasoning for that was, well, if people were happy enough to travel out to my spare bedroom, they're happy enough to come somewhere that's actually more convenient but isn't the prettiest location. So we essentially renovated a warehouse, a storage house in a back alley of Lisbon Estate.
Like. And that's where you've always been very good. If anyone gave you a bare room, you walk into that salon, it's transformed.
Absolutely.
With your taste, and everything is consistent and everything flows.
That's it, you know, and once again, bringing it, like, I think people have such high expectations from social media that like businesses just pop up overnight. And if they don't have the best shop front or if they don't have the best of everything, like that, it won't work. And actually, you're the only thing that can make it work, not four walls or not like the prettiest chairs in the world or anything. And I think that's where so many businesses fail, is they put too much money in straight away. Whereas like I remember going into the bank and taking out, I think it was €3,000. I think it originally was 2.5 and I had to top it up. And I thought I was the worst business owner in the world, that I didn't have enough money to do it. But I was like, no, if I can get this paid back within the year, that's what I'll do. And I did. Now, coming forth, I know that obviously taking a loan out doesn't mean you're the worst business owner. But that, to me, that was my kind of thought process behind it. Therefore, I didn't get myself into death. Do you hear me? Well, same thing. But I didn't have a load of, you know, costs hanging over me. I kept it all very like what came in, went out, you know. And as Emily knows, being a client of mine, I am not good at maths. I'm not good at accountancy. But, you know, it's about make more than you spend. Simple
that's
as
it,
that.
It's that simple. Yeah, make more than you spend. And another element why your business is so successful is because you are very hands-on, you're very present, and you're very genuine. I remember the first time I went into you in 2017, and I was like, oh, I need this and I need that. And I was like, I'm bridesmaid for a wedding. And you were like, no, I don't get it yet. Hold off. There's no point in you getting them now because of the time you come to bridesmaid. It's better to have a new set. And just the honesty and like, you know, not really when someone comes in, yes, that's money. You know, you care more about the person than actually getting the sale. And I think that's why you have such a strong, consistent client base.
Absolutely. And I think once again, it's bringing it back to that's the heart of the business. And as long as you keep the heart pumping, everything else will go with it. Whereas if you just go for money or if you go for turnover, you know, you want more people, the heart stops beating, you know, so there has to be that human element. And I think all of my team and my girls that work for me, they have that as well. Like a lot of the team have started with me from the very start. You know, I have two girls working in the salon that like will say they remember like my purse being the till and the diary, you know, was there done with pencil. And if you forgot the diary at home, which I did sometimes, you just didn't know how your day was going to go when you dealt with it. And you ate lunch beside the bin because we only had a bin room, not a lunch room. And like, you know, whereas now Laura's just ecstatic that we have a microwave and a George Foreman. So it's like, you know, those girls have seen it from what we have. And I'm very, very conscious of anyone coming in remembering that this didn't happen overnight and it is built on people.
And it's hard work.
Yeah, that's it, you know. But it's built on sound people who actually care about you and your hair, you know.
And the girls are very good because even the clients, they know them personally and they have a consistent client base as well. So as you said, the human element, if you have it, everything else will just fall in behind it.
Absolutely. No, and I feel like that's no matter what business you're in, even you with your accountancy. Mm. Like, you know, when one of my business partner got sick, I was like, Emily, what do I do? You know, and it was WhatsApp. And it's once again that human element of actually, you
caring.
Know, caring
about your clients. Yeah, it. And making sure that they're okay. And and because you know it's your job to take care of them, and that's your expertise.
Exactly. Yeah.
And as everyone knows, in March 2020, COVID hit Ireland and your resilience and strength was shown. I mean, you just kept going and going and going. I think you worked harder than you did during COVID, than you ever did, all the hours you put in. And it really stuck to you because you're the type of person who doesn't stop working. You just keep achieving more and more and more.
I think I remember the night that Leo Varadkar came on, it was like the 9 o'clock news and we were going into lockdown. And Chris and I just looked at each other and we were like, we need to get our stock out of the salon ASAP. So it was the eeriest feeling. We drove into Lisbon and everyone was at their businesses and we just started pulling stock from the salon. Like hair was going into black bags, shampoos, conditioners. We wiped the place out and brought it all home. Just sat down having a drink that night and just being like, wow, like this is really, really happening. Seeing like the knitting shop beside us, you know, there was a tool hire place, everyone out on the phone trying to get, you know, their machinery.
And we were around
back.
The corner pulling all our folders
that's
out.
That's it. Yeah, it was just the eeriest feeling. So came back home and I remember like sleeping in the next day and like having this realization of being like, right, Nancy, you can either sleep, eat and feel miserable about yourself because everyone's going through like banana bread phase and everything, or you can get up and work. And then I was like, right, I'm going to choose work. What can I do? So I was active on social media, but very much so. I think I might have had like 4,000 followers at the time, social media, at the time COVID started. And I remember people just started messaging me, Nancy, like, obviously I can't get my hair done, I'm blonde, what should I do? So I will put up the message, take a snap of the shampoo I would recommend. Boom, like 10 sales. I was like, whoa, what's going on here, you know? And everyone was like, thank you so much, I really appreciate this. And then I was like, God, I can actually really help people of do what I did in the salon every day, but just do it online and like essentially have virtual consultations. And then went into, this is the time people can really look after their hair. It was just sale after sale after sale. From one, people wanting to look after their hair, but like two, people really wanting to support us as well. So we changed our website from WooCommerce over to Shopify because WooCommerce actually couldn't handle the level of people coming on to the site and everything like that. And that's where bellhair.ie really, really exploded. And we're so grateful for that. That really carried us through COVID and allowed us to pay the bills, you know, rent didn't stop for us. People say, oh, bills paused, your phone bill didn't pause, your internet didn't pause. You know, we still had a huge amount of bills coming in. And I genuinely don't know what we would have done both personally if I wasn't working every day, because I definitely worked harder than I ever have during COVID. You know, I went through hair loss myself because of it. I never get stressed. You never see me being stressed because I think I'm always stressed, that I just don't like know that feeling anymore. But internally, it took a massive toll on my body. I remember having to go into Leia to get my heart checked because like my Apple Watch when the salon reopened was like danger. Because wow, I would just have these massive heart palpitations going to bed or waking up. Then I was like, oh my God, yeah, maybe I was stressed, you know. So looking back on it, it was such a crazy time. But, you know, we definitely developed something out of it because the salon was closed. We were able to focus on something else.
And as well as the salon, you're also co-owner of the Bellbrush. And that's really taken off. You have stockists in Brown Thomas, Shaw's, Dunn's. And the products that you have range from hairbrush to goggles to clips to sink pillowcases. I mean, everything.
Absolutely. Like, and it's funny you say that the Bellbrush is doing really well. My thoughts on that is actually it's about time. We turned 5 a couple of weeks ago and it's taken 5 years.
I remember your first little Bellbrush dummy in the salon, like, and I was like, wow. And just the way it brushed and you were explaining the thistles to me and the work that went into it, and the thought that went into it, like, you know, every single thing about it, the detail, it just all meant so much to you that, you know, you have the perfect product to sell to people who have hair that's tangled, extensions, kids.
Yeah. So the whole idea with the Bellbrush started once again from working from home. And that's why I think it's so important to start from like the real bottom up, because you realize these things. I wasn't selling product. I was obviously working from home, that I would send my clients on Facebook, like, these are the brushes you need. So it was 3 different brushes because there was no hair extension hairbrush available for them to go in and buy. And remember when I started, even what, 7.5, nearly 8 years ago, maybe, online wasn't really a thing.
No.
Yes, you had, you know, River Island online and stuff, but you never really got your beauty things online. They were always going into a shop. So that's where the idea of a hair extension hairbrush started. And we were the first brush that said for hair extensions on the market. And we actually still are in Brent Thomas, for example, in Dunn's, you know, in pharmacies, we are literally the only brush that says hair extensions.
And still people without hair extensions will buy it.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's where that started. But it has taken 5 years to get the company in any way, shape or form starting its success route, you know, and I think probably another 10 to go. So once again, it's, and Emily will know this as my accountant, I get frustrated being like, why aren't we doing better, you know? But I've come to the realization of just everything takes so much time. And actually, we were on a flight over to Portugal recently to a wedding, and we got sitting beside this really, really interesting guy. Like, I think he said they turned over something like 630 something million last year.
Wow.
And, you know, really, really successful, interesting guy. And we were telling him about the Bellbrush and he asked how old we were. And I said, 5. We're 5. God, you've done so well considering you're so young, as in we're only 5 years old. And that kind of gave me a bit of a, God, you know, we are young. Whereas I think we're old.
And look, we are after 5 years. Where will you be after 10,
exactly.
15, 20?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people just probably think that everything is overnight, you know?
Yeah, because you always keep evolving. And I'm always saying to you, don't put up that reel selling it because I'm just going to buy it.
I know. But it is. It's just everything takes so much time. It's
but that's
so
because
time.
They're all great quality.
Yeah.
I mean, anything I've gotten off you has lasted.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just thrown out overnight. It's good quality thought put into it from production to sale. Like,
and that's why it takes so much time. Is like everything we do is slow. everything. It's like people will ask, when's your new bobbin packaging coming out? Like the bane of my life. You know, we've had the bobbin sitting in the salon for probably a year, but it's the packaging and we won't let it out unless
the packaging is perfect.
You know? So it's all those little fine details, and it's about having a good team. Like my business partner, Emer, who's also my best friend, is the opposite to me, polar opposite. And we work so well because of it, you know? So I definitely think it's like, yes, you'll make a decision yourself, but ultimately the people that you hang around with, you know, will influence those decisions. So yeah, it's important to surround yourself with good people. So yeah, the unique selling point of the Bell Brush is the fact that it's so gentle on hair extensions. So hair extensions are semi-permanent, you know, they're in with a bead or a little bit of glue or a little bit of tape, whereas a lot of brushes are way too hard, but they'll actually pull out these extensions. So our brush is really soft, therefore it's not going to pull out the extensions, but also because of that, kids really love it. So we came out with another product called the Baby Bell, and that's just taken the market by storm. That's actually now outpassing our original brush because it doesn't hurt children's hair. Kids' hair is much more sensitive. So our little slogan on the back of the Baby Bell is no more drama, because that's what we always get told, you know, is no more drama in the mornings. So like that, it's very much so people telling people, like we have a client and she was like, Nancy, I was bringing the kids to swimming. She was like, every single mother had a Bell Brush there changing when the kids were getting ready to go home from swimming. I was like, wow, it's amazing. And this just goes to show, probably started off with one person just getting that, you know.
I have two in my bag right now, and I bring them everywhere, the back home and the Baby Bell.
Yeah, you know, so it's definitely become a product that, you know, once somebody gets it, it's kind of spread around, which is just incredible. And we actually only started doing paid advertising in 2021, so that's maybe, you know, our customers have carried us for probably 4 years.
So you just said you started advertising in 2021, so what made you decide that for your business that this was the way to go?
So the Bell Brush is 5 years old. Definitely the previous years are our clients, like there are advertisements, you know, they would send in reviews, we would share it, that very much so helped us. That was our advertising. And then we, you know, got launched into Brent Thomas, and we got launched into Dunn Stores and Shaw's and these big retail stores. And especially with Dunn Stores, there's so many stores. So like, yes, the Bell Brush might have been known in Galway or Offaly, whereas it wasn't really known necessarily in Donegal or Cork. So we were like, okay, this is where we're really going to have to start bringing in the advertisement. So we looked into the influencer marketing. And this is such a controversial, you know, advertisement type. But realistically for us, our target audience were watching Pip O'Connor or Terry McAvoy more so than they were reading a newspaper or listening to the radio. And that's where influencers are so incredible. Like I remember, we actually only discussed this a couple of weeks ago, you know, somebody coming into the salon and offering like half a page in this magazine that I've never picked up
in my whole entire life. That conversation,
for nearly €2,500. Whereas that's, you know, if I put that to an influencer, I know I'm going to cover my costs on that, and their spread is going to be all over Ireland. So it 100% works. It's just about finding the right one for your brand and the right one for your audience as well. So it's trial and error. You know, we've most certainly had some influencers that haven't worked whatsoever. And bringing it back to the business or the heart of the business, you can absolutely tell the people who have followers versus the people who have followers that care, you know. So like we have, you know, influencers that put them up and like will sell out in no time, because anything they put up, they really care about, and anything that their followers have bought really enjoy. Whereas then we've used some that like they might have 300,000 followers and you might get 2 sales.
You know,
so it's trial and error in regards to that. There's also very little information you can get about the influencers. So for example, in the UK, if you go to an agency and let's say it's Emily Keogh Bloggers, that you can be like, how many sales did she do on her last campaign? What's her average? You know, what can she sell? Can she sell products for €100? Or actually, is she in the bracket of she can only sell up to €50? You get all that information, whereas in Ireland, you don't. And if you spend €2,500-€3,000 with a blogger and you get two sales back, well, unfortunately, that's it. Yeah. So,
and that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. So it's a risky business, but like, I feel 2 years down the line, you know, we're definitely have an idea of who we should be targeting and who we should be going for. And we have relationships built up with so many of them who genuinely love the product and will actually put it up organically now, you know.
And it's coming up to your busiest time of the year. Well, you're always busy, but Christmas is a huge thing for Bell Hair and the Bell Brush. And what have you been doing to work towards that, and what does it mean for you?
So Christmas for us normally starts in January or February the year before, which is crazy. And that's even late. I know like the bigger brands actually start their Christmas in Christmas the year before. So we're good for Christmas. We're ready. I would say this is our first year that we really feel like that. Our Christmas gift sets, they landed last week, the week before last. So we pack all of them in-house. So that's probably the most labour-intensive thing right now that we do, but it's only
And
October.
You all do that yourselves.
We like, do that
yeah,
ourselves.
Joe, you sent me a video last week of you yeah. in the warehouse and just packages everywhere, and you package them up to get shipped off by DPD.
That's it. Yeah, once again, you know, I also said to Emily when I came up to her, being like, they said, how's business? And I'm like, well, I'm still packing the orders, you know. But once again, like, it's what you got to do, you know. And yeah, you can see all these like businesses that will have, you know, these perfectly aesthetic warehouses, whereas I'm there with my dog and my husband running around crazy, and like, you know, it's nothing aesthetic about it, but also that I kind of love it as well, you know. Yeah. I do. But yeah, Christmas salon, we've been there, done that. It runs like a clock now, you know, and we all love Christmas in the salon. The clients are on such a buzz. We're on such a buzz. We have like amazing Christmas gift sets, you know, shampoo and conditioner. You'll get products for free. There's like insane discounts. So it's once again bringing it back of like, we're not trying to sell you shampoo and conditioner. We're like, this is epic. You get a free leave-in treatment yeah. with it, you know.
And every product you sell, you believe in.
Totally. Yeah, 100%.
Like, you handpick your brands for that salon.
Exactly. Yeah, we literally have brands coming to us all the time, like trying to get in. You know, I've said no to one of them for the last 3.5 years and they keep coming and I'm like, please, I really don't want it because I just don't like your stuff, you know. Whereas other salons might love it, whereas there's no point in sitting on the shelf. And that's where a lot of people will say, why don't you bring out a shampoo or conditioner with the Bell Brush, you know, or bring out your own line of products. And I'm like, because I'll never be able to beat the likes of Kevin Murphy or Nioxin or the science that goes behind them at this stage in my career. Like, you need such a backing of financial aid to even begin to start that. Whereas, yeah, I could totally go to a company. I know lots of people using a specific company, make a shampoo and conditioner, slap my name on it and sell it. Whereas like, I would be doing the client no help in selling that to them when I have something epic on the shelf from somebody else. So that's why, just for me, unless I can beat the top brands, I won't do it.
So what would be one of the biggest scares that you've had in your career to date, business-wise?
There's definitely been a few, of course, thankfully. I mean, you can only grow if you're a bit fearful. And sometimes I do find myself getting a little bit too comfortable, or like, you know, chilling out. And I'm like, don't be chilling out. I always say I like to work 9 to 9, Monday to Friday, and then do a few hours on Saturday and a few hours on Sunday. Whereas if I finish before 9, like my head, my physical head, I feel like I haven't done enough. But a scare that happened last week was, we buy all our hair in US dollars and we were transferring money in. Let's say if you were transferring 20,000 US dollars, it could have been 18,000 euros. Whereas last week, the euro was actually, we ended up spending more. So that's when that was like €2,000 of profit just gone down the drain because of the exchange rate. So that for me was scary, because I do always look at it, and I remember ordering hair, you know, 5 years ago when 20,000 US dollars could have been 15,000 euros. And you were like, oh, brilliant. You know, there's that. That's fine. That price is okay. Whereas now actually that means that everything has gone up for me, you know, by thousands. And that was just a deposit. So we order, it's you see the books, it's a huge amount of money on hair. Because hair is, you know, it's the most expensive part of the business.
And then you're in that situation where you can't sell a product at a loss. You need to sell it for a profit. And then you're in the situation where you may have to increase your prices. Now, everyone does need to increase their prices presently. But it's very hard to get across the end consumer. Why? Because they don't know all the issues that go on in the background.
Mm-hmm, totally. And it's already a very expensive service, you know. So it, to me, if I had to raise it by 5 or 10 euro, it's actually not worth the backlash that you might get. You know, if you're really covering your costs, you're looking at 50 to 100 euro, which I don't think we're in that position just yet, but I think next year is going to be, you know, an extremely challenging, more so next year than ever, I think, even during COVID times. So it's just about adoption, you know. Like, I even read something this morning, was just popped up on Facebook, of a coffee shop who has completely gotten rid of everything but coffee. So like food, tea, soft drinks, water, like everything, all they're doing is coffee. And because of that, they were able to bring their prices down to 2 euros because they had very little overheads. Food wasn't going off. They didn't need people to prepare the food. And it's adaption like that that I think is going to help people survive, you know. So that's what I'm thinking about at the moment, is how can I adapt? Is that closing the client books? Is, you know, and keeping just the people that I have at the moment. We're already adapting by changing the opening hours next year. So currently the salon.
And that's interesting, actually, the opening hours. You want to discuss that, because the cost of energy, the minimum wage is going up. There's a lot of cost increase coming next year and people need to adapt. So you're changing your opening hours.
Yeah. So at the moment, the team are all on different shifts, I suppose. You know, some have Mondays off, some have Tuesdays off, etc. Whereas the salon's open just over 60 hours a week at the moment to facilitate everyone's different hours. Whereas we're now going to be closed 2 days a week. Everyone's in at the same time. Salon's open at the same time. And we're cutting that down to 41 hours. So straight away, we're saving on bills, you know, and I think the productivity is going to be better because we're all there. So there's very much so that team effort side of it. And as well, I think it's going to be better for the clients, you know, that's busy salon. It's nice, see the atmosphere. And yeah, we'll hopefully save a few bob in the meantime as well.
And that's what I admire about you. Like, you've no fear to take that step. So there's risk involved with everything. You're closing Saturdays, which anyone would assume is your busiest days, but you know your business better than anybody else. Yeah. But clients will come no matter what day it is.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, once again, I'm nearly 8 years at the salon. It's taken that time to do it, you know, and very much so has always been a thought in the back of my mind, is like, to close Saturdays, because as a hairdresser, I'm going to have so many hairdressers that hate me right now, but it's the only day the girls want off. Literally,
well, that's
they don't want a
staff
Wednesday
morale.
Off. They don't want to choose. They want their Saturdays and Sundays. And within this industry, you don't really have that opportunity. Whereas I said to the girls at a team meeting a year and a half ago, being like, be so good, the client takes a day off for you.
That's it. Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, so.
And that's me.
But that's what we're doing, is being like, you know, be so good that the client takes their Friday off, that you don't have to work your Saturday for them.
But your hours are so long anyway, long into the evenings, that you can facilitate everyone.
Absolutely. Like, we'll be open, you know, till 8 o'clock in the evening. So on a Monday, Wednesday and Thursday. So it's 3 days a week that you can get a late evening appointment.
And to date, what would you say is your biggest achievement in both the Bell Brush and the Bell Hair?
It's funny. I never look at myself as being successful or that I've achieved a lot. So I can't answer that.
Well, I'll ask you another question. Jesus.
which maybe is what keeps me going. But I wouldn't say that there is achievement. Obviously, seeing, you know, the Bell Brush in Dunn's and Brian Thomas is, you know, a huge achievement for a small Galway company, you know, is you go into, even I was in Royal Hill Pharmacy and it's like, wow, sculpted by Amy, she's Dublin. So Sue, Dublin, Bellamy Anta, they're Belfast, Bia Bell, Dublin, like Rebeluna, she's Burr. So like all these female entrepreneurs. And I'm like, cool. You know, there's not many businesses. They do tend to, a lot of them, be from Dublin. So that feels good. That feels really, really good.
What would you say drives you, or what's your ultimate end goal?
I don't know exactly, but I actually done another podcast with one of my best friends at the start of COVID, and she asked me this question and I couldn't answer. And she was like, you know, on very much so like, come on, Nancy, come on. Think. Like, when you're dead, what do you want people to say?
What's your legacy?
At your funeral. I was like, whoa. But that's it. What's your legacy? And I think that I really want to be known, one, to have just always been a hard worker. Like, if somebody is complimenting me and they could say, God, your hair, your skin, or you look beautiful, or you're the most this or that. Whereas if somebody's actually like, God, you're a hard worker, I'm like, oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate that. You know, that I think that gives me like butterflies in my belly. But the legacy is honestly to make women feel really beautiful.
Yeah.
Like growing up, I hated my hair. Absolutely hated it. Like from such a young age, like I'm talking national school, I was fearful of going swimming because of my hair. It just used to, I had the wiriest, puffiest hair. I used to steal my stepdad's gel to like gel it back. I couldn't get to it when I was, you know, swimming. So that feeling of me now loving my hair, and I pass that on to so many women. I see women crying in the salon. Like, that is ultimately the most epic feeling that you, if you're like, I have just made that woman feel amazing. Like, What more?
What more do you need?
And to build a life and to build a career and to build a team on the back of that. Goals.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a real feel. Like when I come home and Chris is like, how was your day? I'm like, oh, babe, smashed it. Like, this girl, she came in, she hated her hair. She's from down the road. Like, do you know her boyfriend? Well, anyway, she had really short hair, went with really long hair. She's heading to a wedding next week. She loved it. Chris like, oh, amazing. You know, but like, I get really excited over it still. And that's why like Emily's always fearful of being like, will you give up the hair if the other side does really good? And I'm like, no, I'll probably like have a shed out the back somewhere when I'm like 70. Like,
don't give it up.
I won't. And that's where I do feel like the Bell Brush, you know, does really well, is on the back of the salon. The Bell Brush I don't think would be anything if it wasn't for the salon. Like, the salon is what gives us our reputation. And the Bell Brush is like what's produced outside the salon.
Mm. So Nancy, you're 30 now and you've been self-employed since you were 22. So if there's any young entrepreneurs out there looking for advice, what would you tell them?
For young entrepreneurs, my advice would be just go for it. You know, it's the time that you have the most energy, the most ideas. But just know that there will be setbacks, like because of your age, that you're not necessarily always believed all the time, or people will think you're failing because you're so young. So it really is, you know, just go for it and don't think about the future, as weird as that sounds. Just think about the moment in time. And if you don't love it, don't do it. It's as simple as that.
And do you feel like you made sacrifices when you were younger to get where you are today?
Definitely. I've made sacrifices since I was very young. I started work when I was 14 and I'm very grateful for that job. It was just in a small clothes shop in my local village, did you hear me, town. But I was there every Saturday. I was there every Christmas. I was there every Easter. I was there every summer. Therefore, that's all I ever knew. That was life from such a young age. So I didn't realise that like Saturday was such a nice day to have off, you know. It was always just the day that you rested was a Sunday and you were in school Monday to Friday and you worked on Saturday and that was it. So if I hopefully have kids down the line, they will be in work at 14 years of age. It's the one thing I'm so grateful for. And even like my parents, I would always say, you know, I'm so thankful for what you taught me, but I'm really thankful for what you allowed me to teach myself. I was never overcoached or overparented. I moved to Australia when I was 18. You know, mum was like, off with you now, good luck. You know, sure, she was crying, but like, you know, it was very much so, do your own thing, you know.
Learn from your mistakes. Then you grow.
Exactly. And that's what I've done at an early age. But like, I wasn't at the concerts. I wasn't, you know, partying. I wasn't out drinking. I was working because that's all I knew how to do. I loved it. I also really liked cars, and unfortunately they're expensive. And, you know, talk about drive back then, even when I was 17, you know, it wasn't, I need to work really hard to, you know, have a pension or do this. Like, they're the goals now. But it was like, I knew what I had to do to get that nice car. And I did it, yeah. Unfortunately, I still like them.
Thanks a million, Nancy, for all that. That was really insightful, and it shows the hard work and dedication it takes to be a successful entrepreneur. And it's not an overnight success. And if people want to get more information from you, where would they go, or how would they go about doing that?
So we have Bell Hair Salon, that's in Lisbon Estate here in Galway. And then we have our online shops, that's bellhair.ie, and then the Bell Brush is bellbrush.com. So if you have any hair problems, hair questions, or just looking for a gift that won't be regifted, that's my tagline this year, pop onto our website. And of course, I'm on Instagram as Nancy Bell. If you ever need advice about your hair, or if you are a young entrepreneur, always feel free to DM me.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And it's always great to hear our clients do so well, and especially a story like that, where you start off virtually in the bedroom to the success that Nancy is now. And we always love helping people achieve their goals and are with them every step of the way. As always, if you want more information, you could email us at info@accountancygalway.com, or our contact details are on the website at accountancygalway.com.